This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinira Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Kia ora and welcome to our Tahitian listeners, and hello to everyone to Tahitian Footy, the best place to get the lowdown on all our Pacifica talent in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name's Sam Wykes, and alongside me is the Las Vegas Larrikin, Tinirau Arona T.
That's where I should be, man, in Las Vegas.
You have to be here on Mondays for work, mate.
I'm not Tahitian there because I decided to stay here for Tahitian Footy. Kia ora to you listening here on Tahitian Footy. I like the little shout-out to Tahiti, Iorana. So it's like kia ora without the K.
Yeah, well done, mate. Good pickup.
But the NRL is definitely off and running. Two huge games that happened in Vegas. Everywhere you look, like, there's highlights on social media, on the news, and we'll touch on that weekend shortly. Also, Super Round in the rugby down in Melbourne, which is equivalent to our Magic Weekend, just minus tens of thousands.
You didn't need to mention that. All right. You're in Vegas. We're in Melbourne.
I didn't know a lot of rugby fans wore green.
Anyway. Reference to the seats.
And we've got a couple special rugby union guests on Tahitian Footy today, Sammy.
Yes, we'll be chatting with some of the Pēnina Pacifica women's players. They're made up of Tongan and Samoan. Made up of Tongan and Samoan women. They're the newly formed team, and they've been playing against some of the Australian Super W teams in the preseason. So we're looking forward to talking about them and their campaign.
So the Pēnina Pacific is the women's Moana Pacifica team.
Yeah, I guess you could say that would be equivalent, and it's part of that initiative and part of that investment that we spoke about last week with Pacific Oz Sport and their initiatives into creating pathways and opportunities, especially for our Pacifica women. This is the Pēnina team for that.
Moment of the week.
Mate, Sammy, we can't go past the huge weekend in the NRL where they've taken two games over to Las Vegas in the USA. And what an event it was. A huge congratulations to the NRL. You know, give credit where credit is due, and I just thought that was a magnificent event on the weekend.
It went to new levels, didn't it? Like, you know, watching as a pure fan and just seeing the stadium, just seeing the way they introduced the teams and the highlights leading into it, it went next level, that's for sure, in terms of the whole production, the whole entertainment factor, not just the game.
Just over 40,000 people went, you know, to watch them games live, plus the thousands, millions over Australia, New Zealand, UK, USA. Man, we're expanding, and it's just really cool to see the game of rugby league being displayed to, you know, the global world now. So
it was cool to see some of the NFL players come out onto from the LA Rams, come out onto the field and have photos with all the players. And, you know, someone like Reece Walsh, he really lit it up when he played. I know he didn't get the chocolates in the win, but, you know, I felt like he's that superstar status, and playing in front of people like that in the crowd, I reckon that elevated his performance.
Well, you mentioned how small the field would be compared to a rugby league field. So the length was actually not 100 metres, it was 94 metres, and width, not 68, 64 metres. So I think in your Tahitian knowledge question, it was 48.
Well, that's the NFL. Yeah, so they found a few. So that's probably why Nella almost ended up in row one, because they were that close to the action. As a fan.
Oh, he ran straight into the wall, into the cameraman, the poor bloke. So yeah, I just thought it was a huge success for the NRL and our game of rugby league. But yeah, there was a small incident.
Yeah, I guess it's public news now, and it's everywhere with the alleged racial slur. You know, for us, you don't want that in the game at all. Like, you don't want it to be a talking point at all to mask what just happened on the weekend in Vegas. But hopefully there is a resolution pretty quick from this. If it did happen, we don't want it in our game. If it didn't, we just need to keep talking about the things that matter on the field and keep being good examples of the game.
Yeah, you're right, Sammy. Look, there's four more years that has been apparently stamped down in Las Vegas. I bet a number of NRL teams now, after watching the weekend, are keen to get over there and display their brand and their organisation. So looking forward to the next few years, and hopefully we can see Nijan footy over there in Las Vegas.
That's a great line to add in there. Nijan footy will be over there for Vegas. We'll find money in the budget.
We'll
what do you reckon?
There.
All right, Zeb Taylor here. You're here with Nijan footy on ABC Radio.
Good old Uncle Zebba. Much love to Zeb Taylor up at the Goldie, doing some great things.
He's doing some great things up there.
But we're off to the footy results and news. And look, I mentioned Las Vegas in our moment of the week, but there were two huge games that were played. And I will start with the first game, South Sydney Rabbitohs versus the Manly Sea Eagles. I got this one wrong. I actually thought the South Sydney Rabbitohs were going to get up on this one. And Sammy, you tipped the right team.
It's funny how I guess I got the league ones right. And you got the union ones right, so I'm not too sure what we're doing here.
Maybe we're overthinking our own sport,
yeah,
and we're just going with the best team in the other sport.
Well, that's how I came up with it. I just thought that Manly slipped under the radar and didn't get caught up into the hype of Vegas. They slipped under cover, whereas I thought the Broncos were, yeah, maybe a little
not
bit
the
Bronco, leery.
Rabbitohs.
Sorry, both Broncos and Rabbitohs.
That's a lie. You said last week after hearing Davey and Tane having a good time on Nijan footy, and you can listen to that episode.
I said it would work against them.
On all your podcast streaming platforms.
Anyway, let's get into it.
And you said that they were going to lose. But anyways, yes, so the Seagulls scored six tries. Ruben Garrick kicked six goals to the South Sydney Rabbitohs, five tries and two goals. So the score was 36-24. Last Friday on Nijan footy, we had Sala Tongatuki. She spoke about the battle between the two fullbacks, Tom Trbojevic and Latrell Mitchell, both players having huge games for their teams. I thought Tom was humming. He's had a real good preseason. It's good to see him healthy because when he's on, he's one of the best players in the world. South still managed to get a nice one of their trademark tries to our good friend Alex Johnston in the left corner.
Tackle 22 out from the Seagulls goal line. It's 14-12 to the Rabbitohs. Comes left to Ilias. Then away Kolomatangi. And no looker. Finds Alex Johnston down the wing. He's over. Oh, the king has scored. Normally the king of Stadium Australia. Could he be the king of Vegas? Viva Le Johnston. He's over to score.
How good's Andrew Moore on the commentary? The king of Vegas.
Viva Los Johnston. But it was cool to see them be able to execute that skill and score in the corner because the width of the field was shorter. We've seen a couple of moments in those two games over the weekend where wingers were getting, like, running out of room. They were either getting pushed out or the fullback was coming out the back. And then Reece Walsh in the Broncos game, which I'll mention shortly, puts that little grubber in because he runs out of room and ends up sending up a try.
Did that surprise you, I guess, being around one game, their skill execution and how on point it was, like how crisp the passes were. They were nice out in front and everyone knowing their detail. Did that surprise you at all?
Yeah, I think they had to get rid of the ball quicker. Usually they have a little bit more time, but because of the more narrow pitch you've seen there, I think it was a no-looker from the centre there. They just went tip pass, and then gave Alex Johnston that room in the corner.
Yep.
I spoke about the back rower battle between Mate Matonga teammates, Haumole Olakau'atu and Keon Kolomatangi. Well, my Nijan player of this game was big Haumole. Mate, he showed everyone why the Sea Eagles signed him on a long-term deal. He ran for 180 metres. Over half of them were post-contact metres. So what was post-contact metres, Sammy?
When you supposedly get tackled, but you just keep going past that contact.
Yes, that first point of contact and you keep driving your legs.
That's a lot of post-contact metres.
He made 95 post-contact metres.
Wow.
Broke seven tackles and scored a beautiful try for the Manly Sea Eagles.
Here's the scrum. 10 out. What a chance for Manly. They work a play right. Croker to Cherry Evans. Back on the inside to Olakau'atu. Beat Kolomatangi and the big back row is over to score. Once he had beaten Kolomatangi, there was no stopping Haumole Olakau'atu.
How cool was it to see when he got up from that try start repping
the T's.
He's repping the Mutton Batonga, the Tonga gang, all the Tongan flags out
there. There was plenty of Tongans in the crowd.
So, yeah, great work to Big Homole. I think he's a smoky for the Blues, I reckon, this year.
You like using that word smoky.
Yeah, I'm going to use it a couple more times.
Yes.
Hopefully my smokies pull off and not your like your ones over there, mate. Anyways, in the second game, you know, I was quite confident in tipping my beloved Sydney Roosters over the last year's grand finalist Brisbane Broncos. The Roosters dug deep and managed to collect the 2 points in Vegas, beating the Broncos 20-10. Young Bronco and Cook Islander Brendan Piakura, he had to come off the field early. I think it was only about 2-3 minutes into the game. Copped a head knock, failed the HIA, so the Broncos had to reshuffle and play the rest of the game without him. But the Roosters, they looked fit. And I've got a name here. I know he was a friend of yours, and he done his best to try and get the V8 engine out of my mate here, Sammy Wykes. But the Sydney Roosters head of performance, Simon Jones, he came over from rugby union. I believe he was at the Highlanders.
Is it Highlanders? He's done the New Zealand 20s, did the Japan national team, and I had him at the Sunwolves, the Japan national super rugby team at the Sunwolves. Mate, to be honest, I was probably one of the fittest under him, but I was one of the heaviest as well.
One of the fittest of me. Fittest versions of Sammy.
Yeah. So that's not one of the fittest in the team. But like, yeah, he knows how to push players to the that end point to make sure you can push past those barriers to get the best out of you. So, yeah, he's a good man, Jonesy.
Well, a lot of the players, they spoke highly about him. And, man, you could see in the Sydney Roosters team that they're all fit, they're all fast. They were all moving with that, you know, that sharpness, especially those outside backs, Joseph Manu, Joseph Suoli'i. You know, when they have the ball in their hands, you can tell they've had a big preseason. James Tedesco, he was unreal.
Yeah, they all look like in good shape.
Another battle of the fullbacks, New South Wales fullback James Tedesco and Queensland fullback Reece Walsh both went at it. They were electric, actually, in both halves of that game. But I've got two players I want to mention. First one was Terrell May. He came off the bench and caused the havoc, had a few offloads. Trent Robinson spoke about him after the game because he played the whole second half. And he said, Terrell's one of those players that the props, you take them off after 20 minutes. Well, Terrell, he didn't stop. So he kept moving. He was still carrying strong. He made a try saver in the back end of that during that second half. And he ended up holding guys like Lindsay Collins, Spencer Lenu on the bench because he was playing so well. And it was cool to see Trent Robinson recognise that, leave him out there. So he had a big game. But my player of the game, player of the weekend, I think, was a Cook Island brother of mine, Joseph Manu. You know, he proved to everyone why he is the best centre or one of the best centres in the world. He ran for 158 metres, 10 tackle breaks, one intercept try, and a beautiful try assist where he set up Junior Ponga for a try in the corner.
But the Roosters play on Tupou. Plays the ball pass along the ground, scooped up by Walker. It's six more tackles. Comes away to Manu. Manu, a flick pass. Away it goes to the winger, Junior Ponga. That's not a pass. It's a party trick. And you're in the right town, dude. Las Vegas, baby. Try to Ponga.
Yeah, Joey Manu, he was magic in that game. With that flick ball out the back, that was something special. And I've got no doubt the US fans would have been on their feet just screaming and carrying on. But I believe there's another important stat from Joey Manu.
Yes, the most important one, I think. A new family member to the team. So Joseph Manu almost missed this game because his wife was having a newborn the weekend before. Now, Trent Robinson, the coach of Sydney Roosters, said if his wife has the baby on Sunday, he won't make the game. Can't fly over, prepare for this game. If he has on Saturday or she has on Saturday, he'll fly on the next plane to Las Vegas. Has the baby Saturday morning, flies to the US, has a couple training sessions to prepare for that game, and he was unreal. So congratulations to the Manu family and well done to Joseph for giving the baby their first win.
You know the thing about special occasions in your normal life and how you got to work your footy commitments around it? Gee, it just makes me laugh. It reminds me when I got married after we played the Tars on the Saturday. I got married on the Sunday, but I had training early Monday morning and I couldn't even drop my wife back off at home. She caught the bus with her wedding dress.
Did she?
Yeah. Because oh, I was like, I've got to go to training. Because we played in Sydney, and then, yeah, she jumped on the bus.
What a guy.
12 years later, still got it. But, yeah, on a better note, the rugby down there in Melbourne, Super Round, it was where all the teams played down in Melbourne, special occasion. And I must say, the footy down there, the rugby down there, it was high quality, and it was absolutely raining tries. All the teams that played really delivered, and I think say for some of the teams that played in round one that had a little bit of the jitters, maybe round one, they didn't have them in round two. I thought that all of them were quality. But, you know, one thing that I thought was very evident with the teams that either won or lost was positional combinations and how mature they were around making decisions under pressure. When I look at 9, 10, 12 combos, when I look at the locks when they need to call in the line out, there were just moments in the games where if the team either got that right or wrong, they were the defining moment. So I think in our game at the moment, that blend of maturity and youth, the teams that have that right, they're coming away with the points. And I feel like that's going to be a big factor leading into, you know, the rest of the games.
Are there a few teams that have too much youth or too much experience and don't have that right balance?
I think, so if we look at the Crusaders, for instance, like they're 9 and 10, are both 19 years of age.
Yep.
So, like, when Richie Mo'unga left, you know, he had, what, seven titles under his belt.
Did he?
Seven titles under his belt.
Wow.
Our Tongan and Samoan friend there. Like, he had that for a long time, and then you're expecting this next 19-year-old just to sort of seamlessly go and steer the ship around, but just didn't quite, like, he's doing the best he can, but it's just seeing that combination, especially around line out time as well. Sam Whitelock was gone from that team, puts a lot of pressure on one of the Barrett brothers to, you know, make sure that part of the game is right.
Well, did Richie come through under Dan Carter? So he got to learn from one of the best, or the best 10 in the world in history?
Yeah, he got his apprenticeship under him, and but like got that in there for a long time, whereas this young kid, he's still only 19. So, yes, he would have.
He's been given the reins pretty early.
Pretty early. Yep. So that's what I saw over the weekend. And I feel like same when we talk about Isaiah Ravula, you know, some of his plays were outstanding, but then when you think of some of his decision-making, that's that area of growth where he'll need to go to that next level. But the performance of the Melbourne Rebels against my Australian smoky team, the Western Force, for Melbourne, that was the performance I was hoping for last week. They really clicked in that game. Ruck speed was up, passes were crisp, and even though it wasn't perfect, you know, at the 50th minute mark, they were actually down 34-15. 34-15.
Melbourne were. And they've won the game 48-34.
48-34.
Wow.
Like, so there were just moments in that game where even though they were behind in the contest, there were just signs that showed that if they just be patient or if they just limit some of those errors, they're going to break this game open. And that's exactly what happened. And Lukan Salakai-Loto, the big Samoan man, he was influential in that game with his ball carries and getting over the gain line. Those post-contact meters that you were talking about before, it seemed like he really got the Rebels on the front foot. And guys like Fijian Filippo Dangunu, they really benefited from that. So, and then the rest of the team were able to play off the back of their performance. So that was a big turnaround from the Melbourne Rebels, and I'm happy that they got that win down in Melbourne in front of their fans. Then we'll go to the next game, and no one saw this one coming. And that's the beauty of footy. I think that's the beauty of professional sport, where a week is a long time and you can really turn things around. The Waratahs.
Ah, I thought you were going to go there.
The Waratahs. They turned things around against the Crusaders and got the job done. Seven-time champs and current defending champs. They got up 37-24. Individually, they showed up and collectively, they showed up. And I think for those players, it was a sign of relief. One hot day doesn't make it summer, but, you know, from their trial form leading into round one, there was a lot of doom and gloom and it didn't look great, but to be able to put in a performance like that, it's a credit to the players who rolled up their sleeves and had a crack.
Yeah, I flicked on the TV. I know you don't think I watch rugby union, Sammy, but I did manage to catch a bit of this game, and the Tars scoring when they were down a man. That was a huge moment to go up against Crusaders 15 players and score off the charge down.
Yeah, they did. Hugh Sinclair gets the charge down and scores. And the moments like that, as you said, with a player down, they held their composure. They were still confident within their systems and the way they prepared. But the big game of the round.
Or the big game.
The biggest game of the round, the one that I didn't tip and you did, T.
Yep. That's the one.
The Battle of the Pacific, the Fijian Drua versus Moana Pacifica. That was a wild 80 minutes of footy. It had everything. Long-range tries, big hits, yellow cards, red cards, freakish individual talent, and it went down to the very last play, which I'm sure, what I spoke about before, young gun Isaiah Ravula. If he had his time again, I'm not sure if he would have taken the quick tap right on the 80th minute.
Like, so talk me through it. They were down by three?
Down by three.
Penalty, how far out?
About 40 metres out towards the sideline. So was it kickable? Well, they had Kemu Valentini, who's kicked the draw to a couple of crucial victories last year. He's very good with the boot. He was on the field. They could have had a crack, or they could have kicked down the
in the corner for the line out,
because their line out was actually going okay. It was functioning well.
And then Isaiah went in.
He just looked around and took the quick tap.
Quick tap.
And went. But as a fan, you're watching, you're just like going, oh, wow, this is unbelievable if this comes off. Because when you put it in context, like Moana Pacifica had a handy lead with about 20 minutes to go, 36 to 15. With
yeah, that was when I messaged you.
Yeah.
And I was like, how good's your team,
mate? In the bag. So when you think of that scoreline with 20 minutes to go, and a shout-out to number 8, Lotu Anisi, for Moana Pacifica, he was amazing in that game, world-class number 8, and I think he's got a bright future. But only the drawer can do those things. Only the drawer can probably have those long-range tries and score 3 tries in 20 minutes and, you know, feel like, oh, this game's definitely gone. But they come back like that. Celestino Ravutamanda, he was outstanding. Then you got Thanakai Vata, their number 7, scoring a double. But, yeah, Isaiah Ravula, I just think he probably thought, well, Celestino's scored some long-range tries in this game. I'm just going to tap and try and get it to him.
It goes to show a bit of his confidence. So I reckon it's a good sign.
I reckon you're right, T. I 100% reckon you are right about the confidence of a young 19-year-old to pull trigger when, yeah, conventionally.
Yeah, own it.
Own it. Because if we saw in the Auckland Blues game, that's what happened. Usually you'd kick it out from your in-goal line, decide to run it, go length of the field and score a try. So,
one question. Did the bus score?
No, he didn't. So he's still on 60. So 60 tries. So he's still one behind Israel Folau to... Oh, no, sorry. It's even at the moment. He needs one more try still to break
top try scoring record ever in Super Rugby
history. So I think playing at 12, obviously he's not in the end of you know, a back line to be able to score. So he's doing a lot of work off the ball and being a bit more of a distributor and making sure they get momentum. But
go score your try then.
It won't be long,
mate.
It won't be long. The LA Sevens just wrapped up. Fiji topped their group, then lost the quarters and lost to Argentina to come 6th. They stay 3rd on the overall tally. Samoa lost all 3 games of their pool matches, including 1 to New Zealand. But then they go on to beat them 12-5 in the 9th place playoffs. So Samoa, even though they didn't get the victories throughout the game, you take that win against NZ any day of the week. If you want to know what happened in the women's sevens, we're going to go straight to Shelley with the long story short.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Well, Shelley, thanks for joining us here on The Long Story Short. What is new?
What is new? I love that. I actually love that little say. Nothing much, really, but I am in preparation for round 1 of the Queensland competition. So just getting everything sorted, you know, getting the meal planning right, the cleaning right, the recovery in where I can.
Shelly, I'm really not your good. I'm not your coach. You don't have to lie to me.
Yeah.
Your coach probably not listening to us. So you can tell us the truth. How are you feeling going into round one? I know when I played, there was a lot of different emotions. My wife actually said on the weekend, so my kids had their trial game, and she's like, oh, here we go. All the moods coming out. Rugby season's here now. How is your mood leading into round one?
I think it's really good. I think I'm just excited to play some rugby league. Like, it feels like forever since I was able to go on a field. And I know I had a trial game 2 weeks ago, but when you play a full game and you don't have the stoppages every 15 minutes, it's a different feeling on the field.
Oh, very nice. Well, speaking of games that have started, the Queensland Cup for the women, Wynnum Seagulls beat South Logan.
Yes, it was definitely a really good game on the weekend. A great start to kick off the Queensland competition. But it was definitely, I think, a middle game. It was a battle of the forwards in that game over the weekend. Both teams have really strong sides across both the forwards and the backs. But the hits and, from what I've heard, the heartache after in that game, it was a semi-final rematch as well. So both of them were playing for pride in that game as well.
How good. Well, as long as you turn up like you did for the Orchids and those hits that I've seen, you'll be sweet and your opposition will be on the receiving end.
You know what is so funny? I will have to say this. But I was really sick before that game, like extremely sick. And the other day when we were travelling to our trial games, I got that same sickness again. And they were like, yeah, you got to play really good because I think the sickness pulled something out of you that made you play good.
How did you go?
We ended up winning and it was good, but, you know, it's still a bit rusty, still waking up.
Was it the rugby league? Was it like a stomach bug or something like that? Or did you have like a fever?
Oh, it was everything. Stomach bug.
I remember seeing it.
It was
bloody pooing through a fly horrible. Screen, was it?
What?
Wee bum, as they say. What? But anyway, just a bit of terminology for you.
All right. It was like, should have worn a nappy.
Yeah, okay.
To be honest.
Yep. Well, we're picking up what you're putting down. Anyway.
What else is there in the rugby league world?
But in the rugby league world, within the Queensland competition, two new teams will make their debut over the weekend. So the Sunshine Coast Falcons and the Western Clydesdale will look to take on the eight already existing teams within that competition. It's exciting. They've had a lot of trial games as well in preparation for the season and looking really good as well. Definitely have already started in those preseason games, challenged a few of the already existing teams. But in that space as well, South Logan Magpies have appointed Kimiora Braley Nati, who is a proud Cook Island woman and has an extensive background within the rugby league scene as well.
Yes, Kimiora. Oh, yes, she's actually a really good player as well. And she was over there with the Cook Island Moana team on PNG over the Pacific Championships.
Yep, she was the half for Cook Island Moana when they played at the World Cup. Did her shoulder, I think. She's moved into like that coaching space, which is super exciting for her still in and around the game, because I know when she played NRLW, she had a bit of a heart scare.
Oh, okay.
So she actually wasn't allowed to play for quite some time, then came back, played for Cook Island Moana, and then, it's now moved into the coaching space.
Oh, good. And any news on the combined that they ran?
Yes, so after the US combined competition and testing, so they did a few tests like your Broncos, your vertical jump, things like that, as well as playing a few series games. Two players were picked from that to come over to Australia to potentially pursue a career in the NRLW. So these two players, Megan Pakulis and Liz Kapunas, are two exceptional players that really stood out. So Megan, I have actually versed her. She's played for Canada in the Rugby League World Cup a couple of years ago. She was an outstanding middle forward. And Liz Kapuna, I'm not sure if you're aware, Sam, but she's actually got a sevens background.
Yeah, I've seen her play before. She's similar hair to mine, I guess. Long, blonde, a lot of, and she's a weapon. Beast. So she has gone to Canberra. Is that right? Has she gone to the Raiders, or have I got the mail wrong there?
Not officially.
Oh, not officially.
Yep, she's going to the Raiders.
I heard she's going to the Raiders.
If we get it wrong, it's Sammy's fault.
But anyway, well, Super W news. What do we have there?
So some great preseason matches over the weekend. Brumbies beat Pinina Pacifica 32-19. Waratahs beat Tokyo Phoenix 44-0. So the Waratahs are looking really strong in preparation for the Super W competition, whilst Western Forces beat Rebels 38-10.
So Tokyo, they have come over for some preseason games with the hope of, when they do the expansion, this is they're hoping for, to be able to join Pinina Pacifica in the Super W. So they want to base themselves out of Sydney, the Tokyo team, and hopefully expand that competition, which I think will be very good for the rugby union.
So there are still a few Super W preseason games to get underway over the next week, but the Super W will kick off March 15th. It's super exciting, you know, with Pinina Pacifica. I know a few girls are jumping on to talk to you two later on this afternoon, so excited to have a listen to that as well.
Beautiful. We are looking forward to that chat, and we've also got some Sevens news as well.
So in the Sevens space, Fiji had another upsetting Sevens campaign in LA over the weekend. They placed 11th. However, they had a great finishing game against Spain, winning 40-7. So they'll definitely be looking to prepare for the Olympics now moving forward. I think that will be their goal.
Yeah, you're not wrong on that one. Like always, thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to chatting with you next week.
Thanks, Shelley.
Thanks, guys. Culture Shock.
Yes, one of our segments that we do every week is Culture Shock. And last week, we got to drink some kava with my DJ brothers, Ironi and Lasaro Tara. But this week, we've gone out and done our history lesson on the tattooing.
Yeah, a little bit of history on the Samoan tattooing, the pe'a. And I must say, when I rang up and asked a few of the boys and to try and get a bit of information around this, just really getting a strong understanding on how special, how sacred, and what it means to, I guess, the individuals that do get the tattoo. And it's not really for the public to understand. It's very sacred to the individual and their family. So that was one thing I did learn from that. So, but from our man, Bernard Tuamau, the one that got the Spirit of Volunteer Award for Rugby Australia. He's the one that gave me some information around this, being a Samoan man. He just told me that bea is the Samoan tat that goes around your waist and down past your knees. You would have seen how many Samoans?
Yeah, Tai Toivasa, yes. Tyson Pedro, the Tuffer brothers. They rep the bea.
Yeah, on that. And so he told me that the name bea comes from the word bat, the animal, the bat, which is a metaphor for protection and care for the people's spiritual, physical, mental health and well-being. And under the wings of the bat, it's like housing the young and vulnerable as a home under the wings, so as protection. So that's where that came from. You know, the men have a version which is called the bea, and then the women have a version also called the malu, which is the protection or nurturing as a mother.
Mm.
So there was that around both the male and the female versions. The other interesting thing is obviously he's talking about the pain and how much it hurts, and I just wanted to ask, do you have to have it within a certain amount of sittings? Is it like it has to be completed in 3 days or 4 days or whatever? But he just said there is a basic structure of the sessions. It could be 3, it could be 10, but it's up to the tattooist to monitor the person's pain and make sure that they are not thinking that it needs to be a race to finish it. It just means that they will monitor not put the person under pressure. Yeah, so it's not based on how fast you need to do it. It's the tattooist will look after them and the health and the ability to cope with that pain and not feel like they're under pressure to get it done too quick. Because I said it is a sacred process. The families are in the room, or they'll be there not being alone. and he'll monitor that process to make sure that it's done correctly, and then the person is looked after in that space.
Yeah, I've seen some videos where individuals have gone and got the bear, and the family is sitting in the same room or with the individual, and you know, wiping him down or caring for him, and then they have a big feast after. I've heard they have a really good they recognize the pain or the journey that individual went through, and yeah, they have a nice feed after.
Yeah, they do. And so I remember one of my coaches that I had at the Sunwolves, big Samoan man, Philo Tiatia. He had the Be'a Taru, and I remember he showed it, like just a video of him getting his tattoo done to the team and to the Japanese players that were in that team, to get a bit of an understanding on his background and who he is as a person. And then we all had to do our videos after, and I remember just referring to, I was like, oh, I'm not as tough as, his name's Bulls, I'm not as tough as Bulls, and I showed my tattoos that I got and how unwarrior-like they are. So when Sonny Bill first came out, he had Williams on the back, he had the patterns, you know, it's like he's trendsetter Sonny.
Yep.
I thought I'll go something different here. I'm going to go get my last name on my lower back and then get these patterns over my back. So I got a tramp stamp, and then I just remember I was 18 at the time. I was like, yeah, this will be cool. And then I remember that first needle touching my skin, and I jumped out of the chair. I just couldn't tolerate the pain. So just the outline is still there to this day. I didn't finish it.
The outline of Wikes.
Of Wikes is the tramp stamp on my lower back. And then I decided to get another great one. It's 5 o'clock somewhere on my
bum cheek,
my shivinders. So yeah, as I said, there's no thought that went into my tattoos. Yeah, a bit embarrassing, but hey, you live and learn, don't you, T? Unlike your tats, which are amazing, look like a lot of thought and detail in those ones. Can we get a bit of an explanation, or someone that did your one on for next week?
Yeah, I'll give it a crack. Clive Nicholas, my tattoo artist in the Cook Islands. He's based in Rarotonga. I'll reach out and try and get him on the show. But he shared a bit about the patterns that he put on my arm, my Cook Island sleeve. So let's try and get that happening.
Yeah, hopefully he can fix up my tats as well. Give me some advice, T. But next up, we'll chat with two of the Penina Pacifica girls.
Nisian Footy.
Well, T, this week on Nisian Footy, we are fortunate to have two superstars from the Penina Pacifica rugby team. Joining us is Nina the Ninja and Moana. As I said, two superstars of the teams. Thank you for joining us. I know you're between trainings at the moment and you've made time for us, so thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Nina, I'm going to start with you. Ninja, where did that nickname come from?
I've actually had it since I was like 11. I was harder into Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
Oh, which one? Donatello?
Donatello.
Donatello?
I like Donatello too. And Michelangelo.
Oh, of course, like the pizza. On that, we'll start with you then, Nina, as well. Just the overall experience so far with Penina Pacifica, how has that been for yourself?
It's a real eye-opener for me personally, being a Pacifica woman, the struggles and the sacrifices we have to make. It's a pathway for us. It's not easy, especially without the resources and support.
I'm going to throw a question to both of you. Whereabouts are both of you from? Do you know much about where, what village, and a bit about your family history?
So I'm half Tongan, and my family is originally from Nomoka, Wiha, and Hadeho on the main island. Yeah, my mum came over and lived on the main island when she was 11 and sort of grew up there, and yeah, that's my story.
My villages in Samoa is Wailoa Whaleata in Apia and Saipipi in Savai'i. I actually do have a few other villages in Savai'i, but I'll keep practicing the pronunciation.
Oh, that's awesome. Moana, so Hadeho, I think the rugby teams, there's a Spartans actually, so shout out to the Hadeho Spartans in Tonga. So Moana, for yourself, joining the team, the experience and learning about your culture, what's that been like?
Yeah, no, I think it's been pretty special just being surrounded by like a full team that's fully Tongan and fully, you know, Samoan.
We have lotos every night and we sing hymns all together, which is pretty special. I think it's been a pretty cool environment to be a part of.
Nina, how does, what's it like having to learn the Tongan songs, the Tongan hymns, and the Samoan girls having to learn the Tongan hymns?
It's been pretty good. Like, I've loved it. I think for us, we have similarities. God first, family and food.
Yeah, and footy.
Yeah, that's it. Those are the common and ones.
So it's actually been very special for us to embrace the Tongan culture and treat it as our own, and that's why it makes this team so special.
What about your coach,
Scott Wisemantle?
How has he been able to, you know, gel both cultures? Has he put on activities? Are there, what kind of techniques has he used to get you guys on the same page?
I think he's been pretty supportive and real inclusive. Like, he's really made an effort to try and, you know, like, a lot of our cores are all in Samoan and Tongan. And he's made a real effort to sort of learn sort of some of the lingo just to try and relate to the girls, especially some of the ones, the locals that have come over straight from the islands, which I think takes a lot to just try and include himself in the environment instead of excluding himself.
Well, yeah, it's not his first time being in a Pacifica environment. I'm sure he would have brought up the time where he was part of the coaching staff when they beat the Wallabies back in 2011. Has he ever brought that up just to say?
No, he hasn't.
Oh, he hasn't?
Yeah.
No, he's been pretty humble about his coaching career.
We are the first woman, Pacifica woman team he's ever coached.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, there you can go back to him. He was part of that coaching staff and some very good stories around how all the players got given pigs after they beat the Wallabies. So it tells a good one about that.
Well, you mentioned we have very similar values, you know, family, footy, faith. But I want to talk about the serious stuff, food. So, Moana, what kind of food have you guys been eating throughout camp?
Pretty healthy food, to be honest. Yeah. Lots of wraps.
So it's just us you're talking to, you know.
Yeah, we're not coaches or... strength and conditioning.
You can tell
trainers.
Us.
You can tell us the truth. Were there any sneaky trips down to Macca's or?
I think so. There's some rubbish. I'm not sure if it was the coaches or the players.
Chocolate wrappers.
Yeah.
What about the locals from? They're coming from Tonga or Samoa. How have they been able to adjust to lifestyle in the Gold Coast?
I know personally from the Tongan locals. Some of them, it's their first time, you know, on a plane and actually out of Tonga. And I think it's been like a big deal for them and a big deal for their families, especially being able to send home, you know, they got a little bit of pay and being able to send that home. Some of them felt a bit sort of scared at first and couldn't really voice their opinions, but they've all started to sort of open up. And as the camp has gone on, they've sort of come into their own person, which is pretty cool to see.
Yeah, that is special. That's cool that obviously that they have you two both to lean on and help them come out of their shell and out of their comfort zone. Also, as well, has the Samoan and Tongan community up in the Gold Coast, have they embraced the Pinina Pacifica?
Definitely. Like, our crowds have been so mean here that we didn't even know existed here. Like, the support has been outstanding throughout our games. You can just hear Pinina all, like, in the stands, and which is so awesome to see. And our young little mascots wearing Tongan and Samoan carrying our flags with their shirts on. So it's actually been a real special moment for us.
Oh, that's cool. Moana, I'll start with you and then Nina, you can answer this question straight after. Have you had to put your personal lives on hold to be able to join the Pinina Pacifica and, you know, go into camp and prepare for this upcoming tournament?
Yes, I have. Well, I'm actually trying to juggle both at the moment, actually. I'm currently studying, so I've had to chuck that all up online and then just got bills and mortgages to pay at home. So, you know, sort of had to work to sort of get that all paid back before I came over. So, yeah.
And how are you finding that, like, juggling having to pay the bills but also and studying and also being in camp? Are you managing it well and is everything okay?
Like, it is pretty difficult. You know, like, I'm up early watching my lectures, trying to get everything done just so I have the whole day free for training and everything, so I can just set my mind to that and not having to worry about uni in the background.
Yep.
I guess, I don't know, you sort of get used to juggling all this anyway.
Yeah.
And Nina?
Yeah, that's the same. Likewise as Mo, I've got 3 kids back home and a full-time job, so it is pretty hard to juggle that, but it's finding the balance and having that village behind, well, back home to support me. I was the same as Mo, having to pay everything before I'd come, so that I didn't have to fall back behind while I was here.
Knowing that you have sacrifices and you can't get anywhere without some type of sacrifices, what helps you in the back of your mind or deep inside, where you know your purpose or why you're there, that helps you keep pushing forward and knowing what you're doing is the right option?
For me, it's my kids. My daughter's on the same journey, and she watches us, and as well as me at club, and she pushes. She's actually striving for the same thing. Thing is, for me, is she? I didn't know you can do that. So, you know, at a young age, I've always played rugby, but now that she's a little bit matured and she understands now, she's like, whoa, oh, one day I'll be like you. But her journey's her journey, so.
And what about you, Moana? What's your inspiration?
My inspiration is sort of similar, like make my family proud, I guess, but also just self-achievements. Like, I really love this game. I really love rugby. I was so excited actually to come here and be with good coaching and sort of be in this environment and sort of learn heaps, you know, try and better myself as a player. Yeah, that's probably what keeps me driven.
I'm not going to lie, I've actually got goosebumps actually hearing both of you talk about your purpose and the sacrifices that you've made to be where you are and be inspiration to our Pacifica women out there. To you're leading by example. So that's, it's heartwarming to hear both your stories like that. And speaking of rugby, what was that feeling like when the Penina scored their very first try against the Reds?
I think it was pretty unreal, you know, like before the game, I know everyone was real nervous, you know, yeah. Coming up against the Super W game. We'd only been together for a week. And then for us to have scored the first try, I think it was a real confidence booster, you know, just made us feel that we could be pretty good if we...
Potential.
Yeah, the potential that this team has. But no, it was a pretty special moment, I reckon.
Yeah, I'm the same with Mo. It was unreal. It's a super team for a team that's only been together 5 days.
Yeah. Well, in our next game, I heard that there's actually 21 international.
Wallaroos?
Yeah, so.
On this Tars side?
I'm hoping to actually smash some
smash.
Of
them. Yeah. I'll give you a target. There's a Fijian lock there if she comes back. Sarah Naguama just...
Aim straight for that room. Get straight in that room.
Nah, I'm only joking.
And say, here's one from Nation Footy. Yeah.
So after that game, is that your final game? Like, what is actually next after your final game?
So I think actually that is our final game. We don't actually have enough funding to continue on and actually join the Super W comp. So we're hoping next year to just come again and slowly build, and hopefully the goal is to end up in the Super W comp.
Yep, definitely. Nina, I'll start with you. What is your rugby dreams?
Make World Cup.
For?
Panasina.
Yes.
Nice.
And Moana?
My rugby dream is that we beat Samoa, Panasina, and actually go to the World Cup.
What's that going to be like when you go up against each other and at the international level and you've got old teammates from the Penina Pacifica team?
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty hard.
It's always a physical game against Tonga.
Yeah,
it's going to be a tough one, but definitely a good game for us just to get that, for both teams to get that exposure and show the world that we are improving.
I'm going to go last question from me. I'll start with Moana and then Nina, you can answer straight after. If you were to give any advice to any Samoan or Tongan girl back at home wanting to pursue a career in rugby, what would that advice be?
I would say to just train hard, I guess, and just get exposed to as much rugby as you can, because now there is a pathway for them, and sometimes they do get overlooked, but this team is for those girls, you know?
Well, mine would be just take every opportunity with both hands. And give it your all.
Yeah, beautiful. Last question for me. What have you both taken from this experience that are going to allow you to go to that next level, you know, from that whole experience? Anything in particular that you've learnt, some habits that you need to change? Is there anything there that's going to help you go to the next level?
No more Uber Eats.
I think sort of just like the discipline around training and gymming and everything.
Self-discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. It's been an absolute pleasure to spend a little bit of time with you both and getting a little bit of an insight on the Penina experience and what you're doing for the game of rugby, in particular women in the Pacific. So keep flying the flag high for Pacifica women. Go well, and we wish you all the best, and hopefully we can see you in the Super W competition at some stage soon.
Thanks, girls.
Thank you.
Nisian knowledge.
Well, we're off to a flying start, Sammy.
Yeah.
3.5 you're on, and I'm on three.
I'll let you catch up last week with those.
You let me. Here we go again. Loser gets the Nisian footy tattoo.
Oh, I get another still. Awesome tattoo on the other cheek.
You're still beautiful. In the lead, and you've got an opportunity here to break away a little bit more. So let me start. You should know this question. It's a bit of a fun one.
I might know the question, but I don't know the answer.
You should know the answer. Being part Fijian yourself. And we speak about the Fijian drua.
Yeah, the drua.
What does the word drua mean in English?
Oh, the drua is the canoe.
What does it mean in English? Is that it, the canoe?
The canoe, yeah. The drua is a Fijian boat, the double canoe either side.
I won't give you half a point. It's the sacred canoe.
That's a point, mate.
Sacred canoe?
No, don't. You can't do that, mate. That
if you Google.
Oh, my goodness. It's a canoe. Like, you don't need
it. No. It's you don't, sacred.
Just because.
Google it. If it says canoe and just canoe, I'll give you a half a point. But if it says sacred canoe, that's why it's called the drua, because it was used in war, in battle. So it's not just any canoe.
Oh, get out of it. See, give me half a point,
nah,
but I'm not taking half
a point. Because the canoe's actually on the picture, so you should know that. But it's a sacred canoe because it's one of the ones they went into battle with.
If I had something here, I'd throw it at you right now. Oh, that should be half a point. Half a point, yep, four.
I'll give you half then, just to shut you up. Now I'm going to the harder ones.
Just to shut you up.
Now I'm going to the harder questions. So that was the recent one.
So have you got a few down there? Just so, like, if I did get one right, you've got a backup. I'm going to go hard.
Yeah.
Is that how you've structured your...
That is exactly how I structured it. So I'll give you the easier one now.
Goodness.
Who was the 2013 Australian Schoolboys captain who has also represented Tor Samoa?
It's Hammer. 2013 Australian Schoolboys captain.
Yes, because you've done your research on the Australian Schoolboys from last
Australian
week.
Australian Schoolboys captain. And he's played for Tor Samoa.
Tor Samoa.
Tuilagi?
Tuilagi?
No, I've got no idea. He would have only finished not long ago. 2013.
Rugby. We're talking rugby league. Rugby league.
I'm sorry, I was thinking of the Cowboys winger. Nah, stump me. Stump me.
It was Sione Matautia.
Oh, yeah, no, I wouldn't have got it.
All right, easy one. We spoke about the NFL width, which was 48 metres.
Yes.
So rugby, is that the same as rugby union as 68 metres?
Yeah, it'd be the same, yes.
So out the box, we have 100 metres length, 68 metres width. How far is it? What's the length between corner post to corner post?
Oh, corner post to corner post. So on the diagonal.
100 by 68, yes. I'll give you a range of 5 metres. That's fair.
Okay, that is pretty fair. I want to say it's 120 on the angle.
Oh, is that your final answer?
It's my final answer.
So close, but you got it right. 121 metres.
Oh, really?
Yes.
There we go. You know what? This is what we'll do, T. I'll be in Fiji this Friday commentating on the drua.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to voice record one of the drua players. I'm going to ask him.
Yeah. Is this going to be one of the drill players or one of the bus drivers like you got me in Solomon Islands, mate?
Hey, no, I'll make sure he says his name. Be good for the show. Get a little bit of content as well out of it, not just the meaning of the drawer.
Don't do voice record. Do video.
Oh, I'll do a video so you can see it.
Mate, there's a tattoo on the line here.
That's very true. Hey, but I'll get that. I'll bring it back. And if he doesn't say sacred, I'm getting a point. But on that note, that's our time up for today on Nisian Footy. Remember, there's recent chats with Payne Haas, Levi Milford, and plenty more Pacifica athletes that you can listen back anytime, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.